This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد All praises to Allah All praises to Allah All praises to Allah who guided us to this Who guided us to Islam and to Iman And to his Mubarak house on this Mubarak hour of this Mubarak day of this Mubarak month. And we were not to be guided. Was it not that Allah had guided us? O Allah, to you is praise as is commensurate with the majesty of your countenance and the greatness of your authority. O Allah, we do not limit you with any praise we can come up with ourselves. Rather, we admit that you are the only one who knows the true extent of your praiseworthiness. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his servant and messenger, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him and upon his noble companions and upon his pure wives and upon his Mubarak and blessed family and progeny and upon all of those who follow all of their way until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, in a hadith, narrated by Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is included by Imam Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra. Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the beginning of Ramadan gave a long talk regarding the fadail and the virtues, the benefits, the beauty of Ramadan. And this talk has a lot of information in it. Undoubtedly, you've heard the hadith before. But I wanted to focus just on a couple of things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to in this talk. He says regarding this month sallallahu alaihi wasallam, huwa shahrul muwasa, that it is the month of generosity. He says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that it is a month of generosity. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells three benefits of the one who gives for the iftar, for the opening of the fast of the one who was fasting. Man fattara sa'iman, the person who gives for the iftar, for the opening of the fast of the one who is fasting. He mentions sallallahu alaihi wasallam three benefits, three rewards. The first is what? Maghfiratu dhunub, that the person who is giving for the one who is fasting, the one who gives for that person to open their fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them their sins. The second is what? The second is what? Itqu min an ataqa raqabatuhu min an nar, that person, their neck will be freed, it will be liberated from the fire. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the many seeming paradoxes of the spiritual world. We don't believe, we're not reductionist people who will only believe in the physical, right? Only believe in the physical. This is a philosophy known as empiricism. This is a philosophy that doesn't even work in science, much less in religion. What is empiricism? If you cannot see it, if you cannot taste it, if you cannot touch it, if you cannot somehow experience it physically or through some sort of sensory means, it doesn't exist. The most simple refutation of empiricism is what? Is the idea of zero. Zero is a number we've all become very accustomed to using. Without zero, you cannot make any of the calculations that allows the electrical system in the masjid to function, to allow us to build buildings like the one that we're in, that allows us to build roads like the ones that we drive on, or to drive to make the cars that we drive in. Zero is something we take for granted. Try to make a long division calculation using Roman numerals, and you'll see you cannot do anything without zero. Now tell me something. Zero, can you show me zero? No, zero is not a number, it's a philosophical concept. Zero is not something that you can write, because by writing you've written something. Right? It's a symbol that represents a philosophical concept. That it's a placeholder for something, even though there's nothing physically there, but you know that there's something there that requires a placeholder, requires some sort of notation. From that, if a person learns thermodynamics, they know about this concept called absolute zero, through which all of your entropic calculations and all of your free energy calculations are made. Absolute zero is also something that you cannot make in a lab. You cannot empirically experience it. You cannot taste it, smell it, touch it, or point to it and say, this is in a lab. Look, this is absolute zero. But without it, none of the calculations that we do are possible. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time where people are empiricists. They have this idea, they transact in this idea or in this philosophy that if it's not physically present, it doesn't exist. Now when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "What ataqa raqabatuhu min an-nar," what does this mean? That the hellfire is real. The hellfire is a reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it for a reason, for a purpose. And one of the other very in vogue and in vogue philosophies and philosophies that is that pervades kind of the dominant discourse that we transact in is what? Is positivism. That we only want to talk about certain things if they're positive. We only want to talk about positive things. We don't want to be negative. The fact of the matter is, if negativity wasn't useful, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not have used them. There would be no hellfire. There would be no mention of punishment in the Quran. There would be no warning against punishment in the Quran. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have been a bashir and not a nadir, only a bringer of glad tidings and not a warner. But the fact of the matter is, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam serves both functions, not just by his own Mubarak speech sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but by the text of the Quran itself, by the nas of the Quran itself. And the fact of the matter is that a person, to be healthy, has to have a balance between two extremes, between targhib and between tarhib, between positive motivation and negative motivation, between hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. So the paradox is what? The paradox is this, that Allah ta'ala created the fire. The one who fears that fire, that person will be safe from the fire. And the one who, when he hears or she hears a hadith regarding the fire, a hadith regarding Jahannam, and they think that that's for somebody else, that's not for me, the fact of the matter is that person is perilously, dangerously close to that fire. It comes in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when a person dies and is put inside of their grave, the people of Iman and the people of righteousness, these are hadith, you don't have to be a specialist to find them. You can find them in the Riyad al-Saliheen and in simple collections of a hadith that the ulama compiled for the laity, for the general masses. When a person dies on Iman and on faith and on righteousness, when they enter into their grave, one of the things that happens after their questioning is that the angel is commanded to open a window into the hellfire and to show the person. This is the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, Allah has already created a place for us in the fire. And the angel will show you that place in the fire. And the angel will say, but because of the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of your efforts and your striving in your life to be free from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced it for a place in Jannah. But the idea that there is a place in the fire for each and every one of us. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَكْرَمُ الْأَكْرَمِينَ The most generous of the generous and noble of the noble. The fact that there is a place created for each and every one of us in the fire is something that should creep us, it should spook us, it should cause us distress, it should cause us to fear that place not be used one day. May Allah Ta'ala be our protection. Right? It's from the night of Saturday, from Maghrib of Saturday, the last 10 nights of Ramadan will start. In the same hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes the last 10 nights of Ramadan as what? Right, itqum min an-nar. That this is the time that the slave whose neck is enslaved to the fire, those chains will be opened, right? That slave will be manumitted from the fire. Bi'sal mawla wa bi'sal ashir. What a horrible master to have. What a horrible dominance to be put under. What a horrible society to be a part of. What a horrible social structure to be a part of. That these last 10 days are literally reserved from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the special purpose of what? The one who wants to have his neck or her neck freed from the fire, that neck will be freed from the fire if the person asks in those 10 days. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that his dua in these last 10 nights was what? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are the one who forgives and you love forgiveness, so forgive me. Right? And this is not the forgiveness of one thing or another thing. This is a total and absolute forgiveness for all of the things that all of us did in our life. Allah Ta'ala sees everything and hears everything. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because of whom and in front of whom, even the Prophets alayhim wassalatu wassalam fear that their good deeds were not good enough for Him. His right over every single one of the creation is absolute and without any sort of condition. Allah Ta'ala's right over every one of the creation is absolute without any sort of condition. If one of you were to buy a car, if you were to buy a Lexus or a Tesla, or you were to buy whatever like the most fancy car you can think of is, and then you pay for it in cash, and you drive it out to your lot, you know, like to a farmhouse that you own, and you took a sledgehammer and you smashed the car to pieces, is anyone going to be able to call the police and then say, this person committed a crime, take them to jail? No. If you call the police, they'll ask, well, did he steal the car? No. Does he owe money on the car? No, he paid for it in cash. Is there some sort of EPA regulation he's violating? This is Indiana. They really don't care so much about those things here. Well, why are you calling us? Why are you wasting our time? If you call us again, we'll take you to jail. Now, if a person can buy a car in cash, with cash he didn't print, from a job that someone else is giving him a paycheck from, with an education that they received from somebody else, tuition paid by somebody else, by a scholarship or by their parents or by somebody else. If that person can buy the car and they have the right to do with it whatever they want to once their ownership is complete over that car, then what do you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created the entire heavens and earth from nothing? The one who created the entire heavens and the earth from nothing, that one, his ownership and his right over his creation is greater than the rights of people like you and I in 2016 in the great state of Indiana. This is something we don't think about and we don't want to think about and we don't understand. But it is a reality. La mu'aqqiba li hukmihi. There is nobody, if he makes a decision, Jalla wa Ala, that will be able to then appeal or overturn that decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the definition of justice in our aqidah is what Allah Ta'ala decides. It's the hadith, the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma inni abduka wa ibnu abdika wa ibnu amatik nasiyati biyadik madin fiya hukmuk adlun fiya qada'uk. Oh Allah, I am your slave and the son of your slave man and the son of your slave woman. My forelock is in your hand. Madin fiya hukmuk, whatever you command regarding me, that's the thing that will come to pass. Adlun fiya qada'uk, whatever your judgment is, that's my definition of justice. Allah Ta'ala, who's right over everybody, is absolute. The one who doesn't need a reason, who doesn't need a reason in order to punish his slave. The one in front of whom even the ma'soom, even the infallible and sinless prophets alayhim wassalatu wassalam, when they come in front of him, they fear him, Jalla wa Ala, and they say that Allah Ta'ala, who promised them Jannah, only promised it to them from His mercy. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who doesn't fear His punishment, that's an injustice and this is an excess on the part of the slave against his master. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has the right to do whatever He wants, He is the one who wrote on Himself that His mercy will outstrip His wrath. This is not because of a right that you and I have, nor is it because of some sort of grace or virtue that we possess. Rather, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His sovereignty, picking something for Himself, choosing something for Himself that we are the beneficiaries of. And we must recognize that that's the scenario. The scenario is not because we're Muslims or because we pray five times a day or because we're from a certain country or we speak a certain language that we deserve the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. to the exclusion of all other people. Rather what? Because of Allah Ta'ala's grace and His mercy. Nothing that we did, it's all because of His grace and His mercy, Jalla wa Ala. And what is grace? What is fadl from Allah? قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say, because of the grace of Allah Ta'ala and because of His mercy, let the people rejoice because of that. It is better than those material things that people spend their lives trying to gather. What is the grace of Allah Ta'ala? The fadl of Allah Ta'ala is that ni'mah, that blessing, that gift that we did nothing to earn. It is that blessing and that gift that we did nothing to earn. And it is that blessing and that gift that we can do nothing to repay. It is that blessing and gift that we can do nothing to repay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has hidden the excuses for His mercy, has hidden the excuses for His forgiveness, has hidden the excuses for the slave whose destiny was written for the fire, every single one of us, by the testimony of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has a place prepared for us already by name and by individual in the fire, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden the excuse to free us from the fire in every part of His creation. And our job is to look for those excuses. We don't say that we enter into Jannah because of our good deeds. We don't say that we'll enter paradise by our good deeds, but by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that sense, the failure is not the one, not the person who's not able to be perfect in this life. The failure is the person who cannot even try. None of us is able to be. There's no hadith or no ayah of the Quran in which it says that the believer is the one who's perfect and commits no sins. The believer is the one who what? Who constantly repents and constantly seeks the fadl of Allah Ta'ala and constantly follows a bad deed with a good one so that the effect of the bad deed can be erased. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says, the one who feeds the one who is fasting, that person, their neck will be liberated from the fire. This is a very good deal, brothers and sisters. This is the best bang for your buck you're going to get. This is the best deal that you and I are going to get. It's a deal that we don't even deserve. If someone were to tell you right now, ask you right now, can I have $1,000? A person would say, no, that's like a lot of money. Maybe $5, $20, I'll give it to you. Some of us maybe, mashallah, doing well, maybe they'll give, you know, drop $100 on somebody. $1,000 is just too much money. What if I said to you $1,000 and I'll give you 10 acres of land with a building that's just as big as this building on it? Everyone would run for it. They would borrow money if they didn't have the money. They would say thank you to the one who gave them that offer. Why? Because you're getting in return far more than what you put into it. Far more than what you put into it. And you're humbled that you even had the opportunity to transact in such a transaction. He says, what? This is what we say, وَعَتَقَ رَقَبَتُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what? The one who feeds the one who is fasting, that person, their neck which was enslaved to the fire, their neck will be freed from the slavery of the fire. May Allah Ta'ala make us from amongst those people in this month of Ramadan, in this night, in this day, in this very minute, in this very Mubarak hour. May Allah Ta'ala make all of us from those people. Say Ameen. And the third thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the third benefit of feeding the one who was fasting is what? Is what? That the person who gives to feed the one who is fasting receives the reward of the one who is fasting without diminishing from their reward one bit. The one who gives to feed the one who was fasting receives the reward of the one who is fasting without diminishing from their reward one bit. What is this? Those of us who had the opportunity of spending Ramadan in the Muslim world see this, that this is one of the customs of the Muslims, that when it's time for iftar, what do people do? It's almost like a game show. They grab the plate of dates and they're handing out dates to everybody. Why? Because they want to have the reward of the person who was fasting. And indeed, Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, who was from the Ashab al-Suffa, radiallahu anhu, from the poor people, the poor guests, they used to call them euphemistically the guests of Islam. He was from the poor people who had nowhere to live, no one to house them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them about the deen because they had no job or no work to do in the day. Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, not all of us are able to even afford to feed ourselves, how are we going to feed the people who are fasting? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, how? He said, what? This counts even for a person who gives a sip of water to somebody when they are fasting. This counts for someone who even gives a date to the one who is fasting. One date to the one who is fasting. This counts for the person who even gives a taste of milk to the one who is fasting. This is what? This is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam training this ummah. Now tell me something. If you give a date to somebody who is fasting the whole day, will they be satiated? Will they be full after eating a date? No. But one of the customs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? Is that he used to reduce the practice of the deen such to the degree that what? That everybody could practice it. So that everybody has the habit of practicing. So that when a person is asked in the name of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give from that which they love. And everybody loves money. It's one of the most sincere forms of love that we have in our culture, right? Everybody loves money, so that when asked to give from what you love, every single one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, rich and poor, everybody, they gave for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody said no. They gave what they had. Even if they had to cut a date in half and give that as sadaqah, they would give it as sadaqah. This is the meaning of save your face from the fire even through half of a date. This is real. There's some people, they only had half of a date to give and they gave it. And the munafiqeen mocked them. They say, what? This sadaqah is something? This sadaqah is something that you're going to hope for reward from Allah Ta'ala? And the munafiqeen mocked them, and Allah Ta'ala mocked them back. The hypocrites mocked those people who gave in sincerity. When asked in the name of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't say, why is this person asking me for money? Everybody's asking for money. Give to that person. If you have a lot, give a lot. If you have a little, give a little. If you have nothing to give, give them dua. So this person is doing a fard kifaya. This person is serving the ummah. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who said, أَنَا وَلِيُّ مَنْ لَا وَلِيَ لَهُ. I am the guardian and the protector of the one who has no one to care for them, no one to guard them, no one to protect them. That's my job, alayhi salatu wasalam. Whoever wishes to take up the mission and the task of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, let them also consider that mission their own. If you cannot go and feed the people of the world, then give them the money to feed one person. If you cannot do that, at least make the dua for them. At least when you see somebody is doing this work, be happy about it. So that Allah Ta'ala may give you your portion from that work as well. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was commanded by the Messenger of Allah, but commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمَّا السَّائِلَ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. As for the one who comes and asks you, never repulse them harshly. In fact, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْئًا قَطُّ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never asked for anything after the advent of Islam except for he gave it. If he had something, someone asked him, he would give it. If he didn't have what he was asked, he wasn't able to give, he would seek forgiveness from such a person. Let us revive these noble and lofty nabawi akhlaq. Let us revive these noble and lofty prophetic characteristics inside of our lives, inside of this day, inside of this hour. And I want to leave you with one last small snippet from this hadith that Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated. You know how when we have children, it's a good habit, you should give your children $5, $10, tell them, go put it inside the donation box for the masjid, go give it to a poor person, go give it for charity. Why? It's not even their money, you're giving them the money, all they're doing is they're putting it in the box. But when they put it in the box, and they see mama and baba, his uncle, his big brother is happy with them, big sister is happy with them, it makes them what? It makes them mustatnis. It makes their heart feel good about doing good deeds. It trains them to do good deeds. It makes them feel good about doing good deeds. We should train them to do those things. Just like we train our young ones and our beloved ones, our little ones, to good character and to good conduct. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this entire hadith describes all of the benefits and all of the virtues of giving and of generosity in this noble month. And then what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, وَشَهْرٌ وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ يُزَادُ فِيهِ رِزْقُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is such a month that the provision of the believer is also increased in it. Meaning what? Allah who's asking you to give more. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who's asking you to give more. They also say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more as well. He's the one who gave you. Everybody will eat well tonight. There's nobody, even a broke person, everybody eats well in Ramadan. Everybody eats well. Ghazali, rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, he says that the person who eats as much in Ramadan as they eat outside of Ramadan is missing the point. And the one who eats more in Ramadan than he eats outside of Ramadan, that person is like even further away from what he or she should supposed to be doing, right? So from amongst our ulama, especially the muhaddithin, they said, well, this is a good philosophical point, but what are we supposed to do? The Messenger of Allah himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said this is the month in which the provision of the believer is increased. And we know that provision is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wrote that you're going to eat in these days, what are you going to do except for eat? Say Bismillah before you start and Alhamdulillah when you're done. That's really all you can do sometimes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq that what He gave us that we spend for His sake so that it can be something we benefit from forever. May Allah ta'ala give us from His grace and bounty in this world. May Allah ta'ala give us from His grace and bounty in the hereafter. May Allah ta'ala help those people who are going to dig through garbage in order to eat their iftar and their suhoor in this ummah. And they're there every single day doing it. And when they eat, they say Bismillah. And when they're finished, they say Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the help in this world and give us the help that we need for the hereafter. Wa sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam ajma'in wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum li sa'ir al muslimin fa astaghfiruhu innahu huwa al ghafur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين قال الرب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون وقال جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم مخبرا عن مقام نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمرا بحقه حيث قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير سألك منه محمد النبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر استعاذك منه سيدنا محمد النبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.